This is the second part of our previous episode, Beyond the Scars, a conversation with Dr. Chika about trauma and healing. Let's dive in.
Welcome to HerCast with Dr. Chika, where we're on a personal journey of transformation, one that's all about her, the everyday girl, teen, and woman. I'm Dr. Chito, your guide and companion on this thrilling adventure. What are some of the misconceptions about trauma healing, that you've spoken about, that you've encountered in your work, and how do you address them? Like you've just addressed one, which is a major one, when people are afraid to speak their heart when it comes to spirituality. What are the other misconceptions apart from this that you have faced?
The other one that is common too, also in the church, is, okay, there was this lady, she's a minister, and incidentally, I don't know why I remember that now, she lost her mom.
Okay.
And 2 years down the line, she's in church and there's worship going on, and she's just standing while everyone else is, you know, lost in worship. And someone comes and taps her and says, "You should get over it. It's 2 years."
Oh.
So there is this misconception that
time.
If you are, especially if you are a minister, if you are a ranking person in the church. You should quickly get over things. But you know, we're as different as our fingerprints.
Yes.
And the way we process pain, the way we process grief is just as different. That this person is a pastor doesn't make it easier for them or faster. So what that leads to is what we call a false bridge on the grief journey. So the grief journey, like you made a reference to, you know, you have the denial and the anger.
Yes.
And then by the time you finally accept it, you know, there is this sense of hopelessness and deep sadness that you feel like, I don't even know why I'm still living when I've had such a huge loss in my life. But if you're able to get through that, you can get to new beginnings.
Yes.
Where you do accept that there is a major loss, but you're able to live with the loss, as it were. And you may do some things that will make it easier for you to cope with the loss. Like in your case, you set up a foundation.
Yes.
You know, and so you're helping.
Oh, so you know that one. That was actually where I started healing.
So exactly.
Yeah.
So that's
that was my healing. That was my medication for my trauma.
Exactly.
You know, setting up the foundation and going into communities. And every time I did work, I felt her presence.
Exactly.
I felt, you know, it was. Definitely.
So some good can come out of such a painful experience.
True.
It doesn't mean that you love the experience. It doesn't mean you've necessarily gotten over it in that sense. But you can live alongside it and impact your world and be a more empathetic person. If someone came to you now and says, "I lost my mom," it's very likely that you'll be a very good counselor to that person.
True.
Just because you've been there. So there are good things that can come out of it. So when we refuse to go through the grief journey and we claim that we're okay when we're not okay, and we quote scriptures and say it is well, you know, when we know it is not well, so you go back in your closet and you cry and you come out and say, I'm fine, nothing happened. You set yourself up for a disaster somewhere down the line. There was a lady that attended one of our healing groups and she told us a story about an accident that they had in their car, the whole family, herself, her husband was driving. And as it happened, she had warned him that he was driving too fast and that she felt they were going to have an accident. But he continued and they did have an accident and she had a fracture, you know. So it really rattled him. It took her a long time to recover, but he never really dealt with it. And then over a decade after, he had a party on his birthday and he was talking to the crowd that gathered. And then he was saying, "I love my wife so much. My wife means so much to me." And then he started wailing.
Wow.
He just started wailing. And everybody was like,
on a birthday. This is a birthday.
Birthday. What is going on? What is going on? They couldn't make him stop.
Wow.
Eventually, it turns out that when he said, "I love my wife," he just had a flashback
of that accident, where he almost lost her.
Yes. Mm. So, but you don't want to have a public embarrassment like that just because you didn't deal with it when it happened. So, because he was a man, so that brings me to another issue.
Masculinity.
Toxic masculinity.
Toxic masculinity.
You know?
And you know, that's what I'm like, I think this thing of men should not express their emotions, mm-hmm. I think is what causes even problems in marriages, to be honest, and relationships. Mm-hmm. I think that expression, that going through this, their trauma is, I mean, is as important for men as
yes.
it is. But they look at it like, oh, women are the ones that like to talk mushy, all this mm-hmm. talk. But they rather just hold, because you're from a child, say, no, and you're a boy. Mm-hmm. Why are you crying? Mm-hmm. Hold yourself. Mm-hmm. You hear that a lot.
Yes.
You know, so how does this?
So the issue is, I say to people that culture is dynamic. It's not
yes.
meant to be static.
True.
So you don't just say, in our culture, men don't cry. Maybe at some point it worked in that society. But the question is this culture working today? Mm. Even in the Bible, culture changes when there's a need for it. In the history of the Israelites, land was only shared to men until the daughters of Zelophehad came and said, we need land. We don't have a man in our house, but we want land. And Moses asked God, and God said, give them their land. And the culture changed from that point. I'm just saying that to say culture can change when there is a need for it. Toxic masculinity. This story I just told you is a man. You see what happened to him? So it just shows that even men need to speak and be heard when they are hurting. So this culture that says men should not cry, men should not talk about their emotions, they shouldn't talk about how they feel, it's very bad for the mental health of men. And on the flip side, the culture that says women must cry. For instance, a woman loses her husband, and if she doesn't cry, they say she must have killed
him.
But maybe she's numb.
And can't feel anything.
She can't feel anything. The grief is so much that she can't even feel. All her emotions have gone, you know, frozen. So
and
we need
happens.
To understand and leave all these cultures that perpetuate trauma in the lives of people. And that's why we talk about listening without judgment. But then people should also, now talking about men should learn to speak.
True.
To find a good listener to speak to speak about their pains, their hurts, so that they can begin the journey of healing, just like the women.
All right. You know, well, this title that just came to mind, this Beyond the Scars, because, you know, I feel like, yes, when it comes to, we didn't talk about other things that match or look like trauma, but when it comes to trauma healing, you know, you go through the process, there's still something beyond the process. That these scars, I believe, now become signs of strength. Or what happens beyond that? So you have people that have taken through trauma, you feel they're getting better. Then what does the scar stand for some of the patients you've worked with? What goes beyond the scar, So what's...
Okay. What's so you know, when you said the scar, it reminded me of something I heard recently. Someone said, you know, there's a difference between scars and wounds. A scar is a healed wound.
Yes.
So many of us, what we have are wounds because we haven't healed. And how you know you haven't healed is when you have a wound, if something comes near it, it still hurts. But if it's a scar, even if something comes near it, it doesn't hurt. Even if someone presses it, you don't feel it. You don't even remember it's there. But with a wound, you remember everything. You feel everything. So when we heal, what we have are scars. There's no pain. All we have are just regular memories, not painful memories. For instance, if you've been bereaved and it was really very traumatic and you have a scar from that painful experience, it doesn't mean you don't miss the person anymore, but you may remember them with a smile and say, I know what my mom would have said in this circumstance. You know, I remember she would pack her hair this way. So the pain isn't there like that anymore. And so it helps you to be able to, one of the things the scar would do is you're able to help other people. because you have a scar, you've healed, you've been through that journey. So if someone else is on that journey, you're able to help them.
True.
You know, and it also helps you to know that you are not alone. You are not alone, and that everything, given time, I have to be careful here. Time doesn't heal wounds, but
like they
wounds
always say, though,
heal in time.
Wow.
Time doesn't heal wounds, but wounds heal in time if they're exposed to the conditions that make for healing. Mm-hmm. So we've talked a bit about the conditions, like speaking to a good listener, being able to grieve, you know, without being pretentious or without denying it, being able to lament and not be afraid to speak to God and say exactly how you feel, being able to identify the hurts, the pains, the losses, identify them. Okay, so I'm going on that journey now. So when you're able to go through those steps, and as Christians, we will take it to the cross.
Yes.
And give it to God and say, these are my hurts, these are my pains. But it's important to identify them individually, one by one, and name them.
Okay.
It's very important. It's a very important of the healing process. Okay. And then when you give it to God, because you trust that, you know, God loves you and he hears you and he heals you, you can also believe that he forgives you, because sometimes the things that hurt us, part of it may be things we have done we are not happy about.
True.
So you're able to receive forgiveness. And when you receive forgiveness, you're also able to give it to those who may have hurt you. Because sometimes a lot of trauma, I find, is interpersonal trauma.
Yes.
It happens in the context of relationships.
Because that forgiveness, you know, but sometimes I think, when we say the word forgiveness, there are times where it's really hard to forgive as easily. And I always tell people, forgive to free yourself. But sometimes that forgiveness is not as easy, you know, as
it's not easy.
It depends on how, what
it's,
that person,
it's not
kind of trauma
easy
that person caused for you,
yes,
to say, oh, I forgive this person.
Mm.
And so I always ask, how for you, how do you help people go through that journey of forgiveness?
Okay, so forgiveness is not easy. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's easy. Some, like you said, it depends on how deep the pain is. It depends on the circumstance, what happened. However, it helps to find out what is the cost of not forgiving. What does it cost me? Forget about the person. Does it cost me anything at all if I don't forgive? And if it does, what does it cost me? So it makes us go back to scripture. So when the disciples of Jesus asked him, teach us to pray, he said, our Father who art in heaven, and he went down and he said, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And then he said, if you don't forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. That's really heavy.
That is heavy.
That is heavy.
But it's still a journey, though, if it be real.
Oh, forgiveness is a journey. Mm. But you know what doesn't have to be a journey? The decision to forgive.
So that's the intentional part.
Yes. So you can make the decision and say to the Lord, this is really painful. It really hurts me. I don't want to leave this. But help me to forgive. That decision can be made. Now, the process to get to the point where you no longer feel the pain, where you no longer feel like the person should suffer for what they did to you, because that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is letting go of that person and not wishing them any harm, essentially.
Okay.
In spite of what they've done to you, because you trust in the justice and judgment of God. You know, the thing about forgiveness is God loves the offender as much as he loves the offended. And that's what complicates it.
True.
So when you do something that he's not pleased with you about, he doesn't hit you immediately. He gives you time. He tries to reason with you.
True.
You know, and he hopes that you will come round. So when your enemy also does something, God does the same. But it upsets us that he doesn't hit at the enemy.
Yeah.
But we receive the grace when it's ours.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the things that we work with, but it takes time. Honestly, it does take time. But the important thing is continue to make that commitment and ask for grace to forgive. The determination, the commitment may take a long time, may go on for a long time before the feeling catches up with it, the feeling of forgiveness.
Mm. That's true. You know, I'm going to ask you, because one of the things we were talking before, when you're talking about trauma, I now know trauma stress disorders. It actually, some people will say this sounds like it's like it has similarities like depression, which I guess is part of the trauma, depression, also PTSD, when you talked about flashbacks that came. So what other, have I missed, is, I mean, how does this fit into those diagnoses as well? Is it like you, is it part of it, or are we dealing with a whole new?
So no, it's not new at all. It's just that, you know, like I told you, even with addictions, with a lot of mental health diagnoses, trauma is at the root
of it.
But what happens with using the medical model of treatment is we use chemical substances by way of drugs to numb the symptoms. But you see, someone whose heart is broken can't be healed with antidepressants.
That's if it's trauma and not like biological.
Yes, if it's trauma. So you may deal with the symptoms, the physical symptoms of depression,
but
until you get to the root, to explore the root of the pain and help the person to deal with it, then they're just going to be on those drugs forever. And the moment they go off the drugs, the symptoms come back out. So there are depression, anxiety, even ADHD, bipolar disorders, some oppositional defiant disorder, a lot of trauma sometimes can manifest in those forms, but it doesn't mean that every diagnosis of those things are caused
by trauma. Because some are biological.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Now, when it comes to dealing with trauma, we always talk about the word resilience. That word is always used, like, you know, when you're resilient, when you're able to get through it. What do you think about the whole that being resilient is one of the important aspects of overcoming trauma? What's your thought about that, being resilient?
Okay, so resilience, the way I see it, is the end result.
Okay.
When you heal from your trauma, you become resilient.
Okay, I see.
So when you go through those steps that lead to healing, and you heal from the trauma, and remember we talked about the difference between the wound and the scar.
It's true.
So the healing is that you are not triggered anymore by those things. You know, you may not even remember it with such pain anymore. You may remember it, you know, just like any other thing, you remember something that happened in the past, but not with intense reactions. You know, there are some things you remember, with a lot of fear or a lot of anger. You know that the wound is not, is still there. So resilience is the end result. When you have healed from your trauma, you become resilient. And what resilience means is that you're able to, if you go through a similar situation, you can cope. Your coping mechanisms are not overwhelmed. Because what happens with trauma is that you're overwhelmed. You just find that you're not able to deal with it. You can't shake it off and keep moving the way you normally do. But if you go through the steps of healing from trauma intentionally, because you can have a supernatural healing that you don't know how it happened, you know. But if you intentionally go through the steps, then you acquire skills that make you flexible, that make you know what to do when you have difficult or distressing experiences. For instance, you look out for a good listener. You make sure that you find somewhere that you can have a safe space where you can tell your story, where you can talk about how you
felt. Healing groups.
Yes, healing groups, and what were the hardest part for you. You get some support, you know. So, and when you do that early, after the event has happened, then it doesn't remain a trauma that stays for long with you. You just deal with it and you move on. So you become, that's what becoming resilient is.
Is being able to move on.
Having the skills to be able to deal with future traumatic experiences, because the world is full of traumatic experiences.
Definitely.
There's no guarantee that,
that you
there
come
will be
through
another one,
you now go to another.
Exactly. But if you have the skills, then whatever comes, you know how to deal with it, and it doesn't hold you hostage.
Okay, perfect. Now, just before we, you know, wrap up, I wanted to be very, like, to see if we just talk about practical strategies. I know that we said, you talked about it in our discussion, but kind of single out about practical strategies or you recommend for individuals who are struggling to find hope and healing after experiencing trauma. You know, so if someone now listening says, oh my goodness, I've really gone through trauma and I know this is why I'm like this, because this will definitely give a lot of people insights to what they've been dealing with. Yeah. So what are the practical steps or techniques? What do they do? And this is maybe people from different parts, not all in Abuja, but even for those in Abuja, what do we do as well? What's the next best steps when you get that insight or you get insight that someone you're close to is obviously going through trauma? How do we handle that?
One of the things I always say is, as a society, we can help each other. So we can all learn to be good, empathetic listeners who help each other heal. That is the basic, the fundamental that we can all start with. So I can learn and you can learn. And then I can go look out for a good listener, like we've talked about now, that this is the first step. Find a safe space. I talk a lot about safe spaces because it's not everywhere you can tell your story and you're safe and you heal. In fact, the unfortunate thing is that a lot of people have told their stories in places they thought they were safe.
And then
they've been further traumatized.
Yes.
And sometimes, unfortunately, that could be the church.
Mm-hmm.
So with the church, with religious organizations, but it doesn't even have to be religious organizations. As human beings, we can learn to pay more attention. You know, I started by saying that. Pay closer attention to people. Find out how they're doing. Someone, a friend of yours doesn't check up on you and you're so upset that they didn't check up on you and so you cancel them. I think that's what they say these days.
Yes.
But you should find out. You don't know what they're going through. Sometimes people are going through stuff. So we should pay more attention to one another.
True.
And we should not always accept the social responses to our greetings, you know. And we should learn to be good listeners, empathetic listeners, not judgmental. You know, if you feel that that is not enough, you can look for a therapist or a counselor. Like, we do a lot of healing groups, and I believe in the group concept because even the
neuroscience. We'll put that information too.
Yes, yeah. Even the neuroscience shows that healing occurs a lot better in groups. And the model that we use incorporates a lot of the elements that are proven medical science, you know. Strategies for healing. So we have a bit of theater, we have a bit of storytelling, we have a bit of question and answer, you know, we even have some dance.
Oh, that's nice. You know, that sounds fun.
Oh, it's a lot of fun, really. For a lot of people who go through it, it's a lot of fun, but in the process of having fun, you get healed.
Do you have an Instagram page or, we can put all this information there.
Yes, okay, so we have our website, SoHealth-Wellness.com.
Okay.
SoHealth-Wellness.com.
So we'll also put the information on our site so that they can be able to link as well. I must say, though, that if you are going through depression or you're thinking of suicide, below, and you have, you know, please do contact us at the numbers that we're going to run below. If you feel that you are trauma, you want to know the next steps or you want to ask questions regarding this discussion, do contact us as well. All our handles and numbers will be below we'll scroll below and will also be on our podcast information page and all our social media pages as well. This has been an exciting episode because it's one that affects everybody. And in our society right now, with all that we hear, some people don't even know they even experience trauma by watching trauma and watching traumatic experiences as well. So I think that having all this information will definitely go a long way to help us to navigate our world as we know it now. There is no shame, and we're definitely breaking the stigma for expressing your emotions, for reaching out for therapy, for being able to meet and join these groups for a better health. You're not healthy unless your mind is healthy. You know, it's not a physical thing, it's also a mind thing. And we're going to talk more on HerCast with Dr. Chida about mental health, emotional health as well. So I'm so happy, Dr. Chika, it took for, I call her Dr. Chika, so allow me, for coming on to this show and really just sharing this powerful information with us. Thank you so much for coming on. And to you, my queens, and I know some kings are watching this as well.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, no problem. I ask you to just make sure you tune in again, either on TV at Star Times or on our social media pages or our podcast platforms for another great episode next week. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to Hercast with Dr. Chito wherever you get your podcast. And you can also follow us on Instagram at Dr. Chito N. That is
at DrChiton.